Father, we thank you tonight for as we look at these last few verses, we see again that you've turned the direction from warning, as Jude has given to us, to be reminded that you've brought us here for a purpose. And Father, you've given something to us special when you saved us. You've given us the Spirit, which helps us to understand and helps us to look to you and to be guided by you. It gives us the ability and hope to trust you and gives us the strength to continue to grow in faith. We thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for how powerful it is in our lives. And Father, tonight as we look at these last few verses, help us to be reminded of your grace to us and your mercy. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as we looked at last week, we began in verse 20. And when you see those conjunctions, I like those. I think you do too, probably, when you're reading the Word of God. When it takes and that word but comes up, you know that's always a change of direction. And I like that because that, again, tells us we're going a different way. We are leaving the fact that Jude is revealing to us those apostates, those men who have crept in unawares, those men who defile the flesh, those ungodly men, those brute beasts, and warning about those things. But now he's turned his attention back to us as saints. He says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." In those two verses, we see that word keep yourselves, or keep, in verse 21. It's kind of the key word in those two verses. He's telling us that we're to build up yourselves on the most holy faith. We talked a little bit about that last time. To build ourselves up means that we're going to be in the Word of God, we're going to be studying the Word of God, we're going to find out what God has to say, and by faith, we begin to trust Him and walk. And that's how we grow in grace, that's how we become more like Christ, as we are predestined to become. And so we build ourselves up in that most holy faith. We know that the Spirit of God leads and guides us, but it's by the Word of God is how we get the faith that we have to keep stepping. And without the Word of God, we wouldn't really have the faith, would we? Because it's with the Word of God that we establish that faith. And so here, he's talking about this, keep yourselves in the love of God. And when he talks about keeping yourselves in the love of God, God never stops loving us, no matter what we do. In fact, God loves everybody. And he demonstrated that very clearly when he sent Jesus to die on the cross. We know the Bible teaches us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. For he sent his Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So we realize and understand that God loves us no matter what. In fact, one of the evidences that God loves us is when we disobey, he chastens us. And I'll tell you, I like to know that he's there to do that, because if he didn't, if you never had the chastening hand of God, you have to ask yourself, am I one of his? Because he's not going to neglect us. He's going to deal with us, right? But what he's talking about, keep yourselves in the love of God, it's a little bit different than what we might be thinking here. We're thinking, well, we have to do something here to keep ourselves, to have God love us. Well, that's not what he's talking about here. He's basically talking about the fact, let's see here, where are we at? I might be getting a little ahead of myself, but he's talking about the fact that it's our love that grows for God. You see, before I ever loved him, he loved me. And that's the point, is he's always loved me, but I've not always loved him. And my love continues to grow as I continue to serve him and obey him. He taught us in John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And that's how we demonstrate our love. And so we want to keep in the love of God. In other words, we want to keep ourselves loving God more and more and more and more. And to do that is to build ourselves up in this most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And so that is powerful when you think about it, because we have no power. What God has given to us is the Spirit of God that resides in us. And He has the power to enable us to accomplish these things. This is a sacred faith that we have. And as we use this faith and as we trust God and we continue to grow in this, He grows our faith. As we shared many times before, today I do not have the faith to move a mountain. Is it possible to have the faith to move a mountain? I believe it is. I believe the Bible teaches that. It's just I don't have that faith, okay? And that faith is something that I've never attained or gotten near to even. You know, there's a lot of things I don't even have the faith to do. Sometimes we don't have the faith to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ or knock, go across the street and tell somebody about the Lord. I've been there. I understand what that's like. And so that's the faith, though, we want to grow, is that we continue to walk with the Lord. So he said praying in the Holy Ghost. It's really talking about praying in the will of God. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8 for a second. We've already went through this, or we've been memorizing these verses. But in Romans chapter 8, he begins likewise in verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now you notice that the will there and of, those are all missing. They're italicized. It just says basically according to God, which is the will of God. And so he's talking about here, it says likewise. That means there's more to this than just right here. And he's talking about the Spirit helpeth us, or help our infirmities. And when you think about that, first you got to look at the likewise in a sense. And so you go back to Romans chapter 8. I'm just going to look at verse 14, start there. But in Romans chapter 8, this is all talking about the Spirit, the fact that you're saved and you have the Spirit of God living in you. In verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And then look at verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then he goes, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So one thing here we see is that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. Number one, we've been born again. We've accepted Christ as our Savior. It's changed our lives. And God is doing a work in our lives. We're looking to Him and trusting Him. And he goes here to this, and of course he continues on and talks about the fact that once we are adopted in the family, then this likewise will no longer be present because we'll be with God. But before we get with God and we're actually face to face, we need help in the way we pray. Now we know, we talk about you should pray in the will of God, and we know there are certain things that that are the will of God and certain things that aren't. But I'll be honest with you, when I pray, I don't always know exactly how to pray or what to pray. And that's what the Spirit does. It helps our weakness. That's what that infirmity is when it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You know, we're going to have infirmities as long as we're on this earth. Until we see Jesus. Until we're in that glorified body. Until that adoption is complete and finished. We're going to need help. And that's what the Spirit's there for, is to help us. Praying in the Holy Spirit. That's what we do, is we pray in the Holy Spirit. We walk as close as we can to God. We try to keep a short account of our sins, and we look to the Lord, and we go to Him and ask Him for whatever it is we ask, not always knowing how to ask it, but the Spirit does. And it's interesting. He says, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's like sighings. If you look up that word, that's what it means, sighings. So the Spirit, it makes these intercessions for us. We don't know what they are. We don't even understand them. It's sort of like when we pray to God, dear God, please do this or that or whatever. The Spirit that lives inside of us, that bears witness with our spirit, it kind of straightens those things out. You know, it's like typing. You ever type before and you mess every word up? And you got spell check and I'll kind of automatically fix it. I like that. That's kind of the Spirit's there to help us. To correct maybe some things that we're not saying exactly right, because it knows our heart. Verse 27, he says, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. He that searcheth the heart is God. God is the one that searches our heart. He knows what's on our heart. And he says that he knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, or knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints and according to the will of God. So whenever the Spirit maketh intercession for us, it's according to the will of God. So as we're praying and we're seeking God and we're trying to find out, we're praying in the Holy Ghost, we have help. And that help is the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit. And it's there to do that very thing. Ephesians 6:18, we looked at earlier, it reminds us that we're to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, does that mean that we're always to be on our knees in our prayer closet? Don't think so. But we ought to always have that mindset of praying. Wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, wherever we're going, there's the opportunity. You see something, there's an opportunity maybe to witness somebody, or you see an accident, whatever, you can go to God right then and there. And that means keeping a close account of your sins, because if you have sin in your life, if you have iniquity, the Bible says He will not hear you. And so we want to keep a close account, so we have those lines open. And of course, we're to pray that and believe that God will answer those prayers. In John 14:13, Jesus said, "And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Now, asking His name is not just saying in the name of Jesus Christ. That's not what that really means. Asking His name is in the will of God. We can ask a lot of things in the name of Jesus Christ that are not the will of God. But when we ask those things in the will of God, those are the things that He's going to answer. And He will do those things. He promises. So He's given us this opportunity that we have here in Jude, as He talks about the beloved, who those who are born again, that know Christ as their Savior, they are the beloved. He just reminds us that we're to build up ourselves on the most holy faith. We're to pray in the Holy Ghost. We're to keep ourselves in the love of God. And that is just keep on keeping on, studying the Word of God, finding out what God wants us to do, and growing closer to Him. My love today for the Lord is greater than it was years ago. And that's what's going to happen naturally as you and I seek the Lord and we trust Him and we begin to walk with Him. It just grows. And it'll continue to do so. In the rest of that verse, he says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And we know that God is merciful. And for all those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He's going to keep those folks. There's no question about that. And so as we continue to look for God's mercy in our lives, and we do that, we look for His grace. His grace is benefit. It's a benefit to us. The blessings that He gives to us as we continue to walk with Him. He wants to bless us. And often, when I'm not having the blessings of God, it's because I tie His hands. I basically, and not saying it, just saying it, but this is what happens. Lord, I'll take care of this myself. I'll do my own thing. And that ties God's hand sometimes in allowing Him to bless me and that mercy that He wants to give to me. And of course, eternal life is something that you have when you put your faith and trust in Jesus. And we'll look at that in just a few moments. In verse 22, he says, "And some have compassion, making a difference." There are some people that are not like these apostates. These apostates, they're people that pretty much have made up their mind. They would be considered a scorner, someone who's against God, doesn't care about God. But there are a lot of people that just don't know. And if they did, they would put their faith and trust in Jesus. And so those people, we want to have that compassion to reach out to them and help them, because it can make a difference in their lives. He goes on in verse 23 and says, "Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." There are some that it's going to take some hard preaching, some hard teaching to get them to understand. When Jesus first started, He came and He preached repentance. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When Jesus preached to the Pharisees, He said some hard things to those folks. Why? He was trying to help them to see. And of course, the Bible teaches us He came in His own received Him not. All of that was planned, obviously, but that doesn't mean we understood all that prior to that. So here, God wants us to continue to grow. He wants to continue to build us up. He wants us to guard our hearts, and that's what that word keep is to guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And again, He's given us something that's going to help us. He talks about having mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tonight as well. We're just wrapping up in Jude here. It's good to go back and be reminded of these things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 13, he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Again, the key is that we believe in Jesus Christ, right? Believe that Jesus died and rose again. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And again, he reminds us, as he's reminding the church there, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." So again, he wants to remind us over and over again who we are in Christ. And that's what Jude is going back and doing. He's reminding us the fact that we are in Christ, that Jesus Christ, his mercy is going to lead us to everlasting life. His mercy was demonstrated when he sent Jesus to the cross. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, it changed your life forever. Something happened. It was real. It was something that you know that took place. And today it's made a difference in your life. Turn to Matthew chapter 9 for a second. Matthew chapter 9. So he talks about having compassion. And really Jesus is our teacher in this. As the Pharisees would not accept Jesus, in fact, they thought he was of the devil. Jesus continued in the ministry that he was called to do the works. In verse 35 of Matthew chapter 9, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." He had compassion. He was making a difference in people's lives. And then verse 36, it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Can you imagine? Jesus looks out and he sees the people. He doesn't see the people like I see the people. He doesn't see the people as sometimes they're wicked, vile, doing bad things and all this stuff. He sees them as needing a shepherd. He sees them as someone who doesn't understand. They fainted and were scattered abroad. Really didn't know. But then verse 37, he said, "Then saith he unto his disciples," that's me and you today, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." It's amazing what that prayer will do to you in your life when you begin to pray that. Because instead of looking for someone else to go, you're going to realize that you're the one that needs to go. You're the laborer that God's calling. It may not to be anywhere foreign or anything. It might just be to go across the street. But God wants to do that in our lives. Why? Because many are in the position today, if they were to die, just as Adam shared tonight about his friend. A lot of people think that death is just that. You're planted in the ground and that's all there is. So there's no hope. There's nothing to live for. What do they have? Well, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, let's get something that will mess up my mind so I don't have to think about these things. I don't have to care about these things. And there's a dying world that are in that condition today. We know that many are destined for the lake of fire. But they can still be saved. with prayer, with sharing the gospel, with living the gospel. All of that's part of it. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 through 28, Paul's writing, he says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Here the mystery is Christ in you, Christ in me. That's a mystery to some people. It is. The hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So Paul's writing, he's writing to the church there, and he's saying, whom we preach, he says, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. And that is what it takes a lot of times. It's not just the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, definitely. But the Word of God is the complete canon. People need to understand who God is, that there is a God. Why are they sinners? It's easy to say, you ask the question, do you sin? Well, yeah, I sin. And of course, in their mind, maybe they're sinners because they sin. And they don't really understand that they have a problem. And that's their nature. The nature itself. And that's what hinders them. And when they can actually see that that's their nature and that God is holy, it can make a difference. Jude is writing to us to help us to contend and commit to this higher calling that is greater than any one of us can do. In 1 Timothy 4:16, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see, it's not our power, but it's Christ's power in us that can make the difference. So in Jude, the next verse, he talks about that he is able. And I'm so grateful and thankful that he is able. And it's not me that has to be able, because if it's relying on me, I don't have any hope. I don't have any chance. Verse 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It's amazing. That word keep there is a little bit different from the other word that we looked at. This word is phulasso, and it gives the idea of isolation or to prevent from escaping. In other words, God is able to keep us. He is able to prevent us from escaping. If it was me that had to rely on that, if I could lose my salvation, I would have done it many times over. Probably wouldn't be saved tonight, because it's so easy to get out of the will of God and to do that which is not right. But that's not true, is it? God is able. He gives us illustrations of the Old Testament. They're a little different, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three men who served God, and they would not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. They knew the cost of that. That cost was death. And they were willing to pay that price rather than bow down to a God that they knew was an idol. Yes, they were thrown in the fiery furnace. But God is able. God is able tonight for us as well. We remember Daniel in the lion's den, same thing. Why? Because Daniel was following God. He purposed in his heart to follow God. And God is able, and God will do those things for us. You know, there's nothing that can separate. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8 again. I probably should have had you stay there. But go back to Romans chapter 8, and we see again that there's nothing that can separate us from God. Nothing. And the Bible tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, you're probably thinking in your mind, well, there's a lot of things could be against us. Well, that's true in the physical realm. But the physical realm is not as important as we think. Although my faith is not that strong yet, but I know it's true that as Paul has written, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Although I don't demonstrate that, because I don't have that faith yet. In verse 33 of chapter 8, he says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. as the Spirit maketh intercession for us, Jesus is making intercession for us as well. Boy, we got some power behind this, folks. I mean, seriously, think about that. The Almighty, the one who created this earth, He's there for us, me individually. He's there for me. Verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you put your faith and trust in Christ, you are sealed. It is solid. It cannot be changed. 2 Corinthians 1:22, he says, who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You know it. That's what's so exciting about this. The day I accepted Christ as my Savior, I knew something happened. And from that day to this day, that has not changed. I know who I have believed in. I know who I've put my trust in. I've not always been faithful, but God has. He's always loved me through everything that I've gone through and every mistake I've made. He still loves me. And I know that. And I know that He lives inside of me. As I study the Word of God, He reveals things to me. He helps me. He tells me, you're doing something stupid here. That's a foolish thing. Don't do that. He reveals those things to us. Ephesians 1:13, Paul wrote, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let me read that whole verse again so you get that again. If I can find the right page here. Okay. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And again, that Holy Spirit is what's promised to us. Jesus made that promise. Do you remember where He made that promise? Rough guess. The book. Specifically, I'm sure He made it in Matthew some form, but in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, He promised His disciples that He would send the Holy Spirit or the Comforter, and they would He would bring all things to their remembrance. Remember? He told them He would do that. The Spirit of Truth, He called Him in John chapter 16, verse 13, that He would come and do that. And so that's the promise that we have when Jesus left, that He would send the Spirit of God, and He did. And for all those that put their faith and trust in Christ, we have that Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed in the day of redemption. You can never lose the Spirit, but you can grieve the Spirit. And when we grieve the Spirit, of course, that's when we're not walking with God. So God is able to present you faultless. Turn to Ephesians, and we're going to be wrapping this up here. In the book of Ephesians, Paul is using the analogy of the marriage, the husband and wife relationship, and he uses that analogy as that of the church. We are the bride of Christ. He is the bridegroom. And Ephesians chapter 5, he explains that a little bit. In verse 25, he shares with us, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a tall order, by the way. A real tall order. Because Christ gave everything. Everything. For us. Verse 26 is that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And what it says here is that as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify the church and cleanse the church with the washing of the water by the word. That word there is utterance. It's really talking about preaching or teaching the word of God. As we hear the word of God, as we apply it in our lives, it's going to continue to sanctify us and continue to cleanse us throughout our lifetime. And that's why it's so important to be in the word, to understand that, to know what God has for us. Verse 27 says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. When we meet Jesus Christ, that's the way it's going to be. We're going to be without spot, without blemish. There'll be nothing there. Because everything else, the good works, the bad works, they'll be taken care of. And we just have ourselves to see Jesus Christ. Born again, saved Christians. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. As we look at the book of Jude, Jude is just a short book, but it's a book that's powerful in the sense that Jude is warning and trying to help us. He wrote it many years ago, almost 2,000 years ago. And again, he, as the church was then, warning them to watch out. He said, "Beloved," in verse 3, "when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." He said, it was something I had to do. The word diligence, he had to give all speed to it. He had to write it. It was needful. It talks about distress or being in a corner in a sense that I had to do it. Why? Because there are those certain men crept in unawares. There are certain people that want to destroy and to change the things of the Word of God, who turn that which is right into, or the grace of God, into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the thing we're contending for today, is the faith that was once delivered. And we do that by studying the Word of God. To study the Bible is to have God reveal the truth to us. And this is the only way we can know it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And we want to have it in our lives, and it ought to be a major part in our lives. We're busy. We got a lot of things going on. But this really, when we really think about the bottom line, this is the most important thing for all of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the Word of God tonight. And we pray you would help each one of us, that as we continue to grow and continue to look to you, that you would grow our faith. That yes, that we could be those that can trust you, and maybe one day we can move that mountain. Father, we know that you've given us the ability, and it just requires that we continue to grow and to look to you and trust you in all things. Father, have your way now. In Jesus' name, amen. We are dismissed.